All right, well, good to have everybody here this morning. All right, Sam, we're going to start, okay? Say, you know, where's your wife? I'm trying. I know it's Andrew talking to you and stuff, so, you know, but he don't listen either. So, told somebody earlier, I was like, man, I came in, it was so loud in here. I'm like, man, I'm about to beat him with a stick to be able to get started with Sunday school this morning, so. But I always do like it when everybody is chattering and fellowshipping, just good. Good, healthy thing. Last couple of weeks, we're transitioning into a new study, and we have been doing questions, ideas, and topics of biblical and relational interest. That's what I've come up with the topic of it there. Basically, I've kind of opened the floor up to everybody to share whether it's a question, an idea, or a topic dealing with biblical or relational things that you would like to know more about or that you have a question about. And I went back through, I took the first 2 weeks and typed it all out. It becomes interesting when you begin to take all the subjects and then you begin to see how some of those, they kind of fit together. And they start to, kind of like connecting the dots. They kind of form a little bit of a picture there. And it's been very, 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 very helpful. What I'm going to do in starting, I'm going to go back over like I did last week, what's been brought up thus far, and go through it quickly. As I'm doing that, if you have a thought, a question, because this is probably going to be the last week we're going to do it, and then we will start with our regular study next week. Before we get into that, though, remember we are starting the pictorial directory today. So if you have not signed up, and I was going to mention it to you guys, I think there's 3 slots in the late afternoon that haven't been filled in. You know, Sister PJ and Brother Tim are going to do the pictures for us. Sister PJ is obviously still nursing her child, so she can only be there for a certain amount of time. We got her from 1 to 4. So we'd like to get those slots filled in. So if you could take any of those 3 today, I know it's last minute, that'll be great. If not, if you can get signed up in the next 2 weeks, that will be wonderful. And I'll make some other comments about it out front this morning. All right, so things we covered. We started out 2 weeks ago discerning in the midst of a good ministry that had some bad doctrine. You know, I kept trying to summarize that up, Miss Tamara, and it's brought about. Where's Tamara here? Where's Tamara? I see you. Where? Oh, shit. Where's she at? Is she gone? Bathroom. Oh, hate that. Sorry, Tamara. I'll just talk louder. I bet you, I could arrange it where she could hear me in there, but I don't think that's what we really want to do this morning. But yeah, I kind of brought it down to almost 3 questions. It's like, okay, when to leave, when to stay, and what to do. And we've talked about living according to principles, the 2 words, balance and discernment, and creating a mindset. That is what so much of grace is about. And once you learn to do that, it allows you to answer your own questions. Let me just make this statement. There's a lot of churches, and I'm for this. I am for people going and getting counsel and getting other perspectives and things like that. But sometimes people think that the pastors in the church have like this special hotline to God and that we just know so much more. If you come and talk to us about something, we can tell you what God said. All right. But just so we have the understanding, you know, you have the same Bible we have. You're indwelt with the same Spirit of God we have. Now, there are the time that you spend in the Bible and the experience and the things that you go through. You do take that into consideration. But under grace, the member of the body of Christ is designed to be able to make their own decisions, but also to incorporate it not just from a headship position like a pastor, but even within the body itself, to be able to go to others, to discuss things, to get different perspectives there. And we all have that same opportunity and ability to think and have the mind of Christ there. So we went into some detail with that a few weeks ago. We had the question about alcohol use for the Christian and how some justify that. We went quickly through Genesis 3 and the temptation of the grape. And how the grape, you know, you have the fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That fruit being the grape, it can represent something that's good, something that's bad. you know, wine that is unfermented is represents fruitfulness, it represents bounty, it represents blessing. And then you have that part that is fermented there that has to do with the curse. And that's the thing, one of the only uses for it today are the medicinal purposes that go along with that. There's verses that go along with that. One of the biggest things is, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, so when I get married, we should have alcohol at our reception. You know, we can go through that, but that's where when you have the mind of Christ and you know certain principles, you can look at that and just say, no. I know enough about the Bible and other places to know that when he changed that over and that was a sign and that was representing his kingdom and all that went along with that, that was not, he didn't make it wrong. He made it right. It was not fermented. Well, it used the word wine. Yeah, there's no other words that have multiple definitions, do they? Yes, of course they do. So, and you go back through and you see all the different places in the Bible where all the negative things that are there. We covered some of that, but that can be more of a detailed study to go through. And we may hit on that at some point. Question came in about the variations of pride. And then we had the questions that came about the instruction on child rearing, and we do have a lot of our young married couples that are represented in this class. Some of our kids are already grown. Some of us are going to be grandparents. Regardless of where you're at, when you study the Bible and you study grace principles and you point it in a certain direction, whether it's marriage, whether it's child rearing, whether it's finances, whether it's the workplace, whether it's relationships, there's still things that every believer is going to be able to learn and get a hold of there. And I'm going to cover that a little bit more in just a moment. But we also had the question dealing with being unequally yoked and separations there. People ask, he's like, okay, so how do you deal with the things of all the tattoos, the piercings, the dress, the music, the culture, and all of that when you don't always have specific verses? And we talked about the fact we don't want to go, as a believer, as a Bible believer, you don't need to go to the Old Testament and pull passages out of context just to try to prove a point. I don't think that's the way we're supposed to do it. People say, well, I need a verse on it. So I go back here to the Old Testament and see where this one verse that I pull out. And most of them say, so what's the context about that? I don't know. I just know it says this right here. But when you take principles are going to be able to give you that discernment between what is right and what is wrong there. So, Evan mentioned about time management last week, the importance of that. And I gave you some ideas about taking what the world does well and is biblical and utilizing it. Like some of the books out there. I mentioned the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You know, and then there's a place where you kind of cringe a little bit and says, okay, so do I read a book from a Navy SEAL that teaches you all these good things, but his mouth is not quite sanctified yet? that book called Extreme Ownership there, Willis recommended it to me. I really enjoyed it, got a lot out of it. Every once in a while, he used some language I didn't like. And what's that?
There's a clean version now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, where were you at? You moved too late. All right, that is good. Maybe there was enough people to say, because I was just like, ugh. But some of the things that were in that book, I'm sitting there thinking with what I know of the Bible. I'm like, well, yeah, that he's putting it into a usable format in a way that I'm thinking that ties into my Bible, not his language, but the principles that were there, and it was really a helpful thing. So one of the other things there we talked about, and this would be a more detailed study, the issues of the heart and the mind and comparing the two there. So much emphasis on the heart. The heart's important, but, the mind is going to dictate the heart. And so when we have our mind right, we're going to be able to have our heart right. People asked about how to reach the people that seem to just be so lost. You know, we're living in a day and age. And just so you know, it's been like this before. I'm sure those people in the dark ages, there were some pretty rough people and things going on. I'm not opening up in the paper or looking across the street and somebody's getting burned at the stake or tortured or put inside some animal skins and put out in the Colosseum. We know those things went on in history there, but we are at a place where, man, there's just some dark people out there. And sometimes we just want to be, we almost get so offended that we just want to completely separate ourselves from them. But then there's got to be that balance of, okay, we still have a responsibility to be an ambassador and be a light and to figure out, okay, how do I do that? And working through that, that balance and discernment comes in with that as well. And then several things were mentioned, and we just almost put them into the category of relationships there. And different questions came about with parenting, the relationship of parents to children, the parental responsibilities, the desire to raise children according to grace, you know, trying to figure out, okay, how do I provide separation for my children? How to let them see the difference between what's biblical and what's worldly, but to balance it, to not get, you know, to not, for it not to be isolation and for them to lose kind of the realization of what life's all about. There's things that we protect our kids from, but as time goes, there's things that have to be revealed because there's going to come a point in their life they have to deal with those things. And trying to find the balance in there, and I, you know, it's, we'll get into that. One of the things I'll say about this, every child is different. Principles don't change, but the application of principles sometimes has to change based upon the type of child that you are rearing. Some things are going to be the same with all. Some things you've got to look at a little bit differently there and utilize greater balance and discernment in dealing with them. So that's kind of where we left off. And I wanted to give a few minutes this morning. If anybody else had a question, idea, or a topic that would go along or something that you've been thinking about. So, yes, ma'am, Cindy. Okay, give her a shot. All right. I got my pen. All right.
So this is kind of a two-parter. How long do you pray for something that hasn't been promised? Like, how long do you pray for something that hasn't been promised?
Okay.
So, you know, I'm thinking of maybe like a single person who wants a spouse. That didn't promise that to them. So they can pray, but then don't know. Or the couple wanting a baby and they're dealing with difficulties. God promised that things happen. So how long do you pray for something? And where is the balance between kind of like Brother Ben was saying with the two ditches of surrender, where you need to take action on things, but you don't want to control the situation. You need to surrender to God. But then you can be so taking no action where you're apathetic and cynical, like, it doesn't matter what I do, it doesn't matter. So where is the balance of surrender when you're praying to want something, but you need to take action on it, but you can't control it. So, like, where is that balance?
Okay. All right. That's an excellent question. She was telling me before she may have to email that one to me there. And my sister, when I've done this before, I remember she emailed me some questions, but they're usually very thought-provoking questions. And those are that when we talk about balance and discernment. It's like, how long do you pray for that? And I've made this statement. I mean, I've done this for quite a while. When you look at young people, and one of the things as a youth pastor that I wanted to do is I wanted to be an extension and a help to parents in that realm of, okay, as they get older and they start looking for a mate and start the choosing process there. I was like, it's not my job to be a matchmaker, but I got enough discernment to know, let's get rid of the bad ones. And, you know, times, I mean, I can remember making a statement and being nervous about it at times. Says, hey, you know, before you're going to date somebody, come introduce them to me. Let me meet them. Let me give you my input there. And let me be able to help. Some did, some didn't there. But when you look at, okay, then there's been just, well, they're just good young men, good young ladies. And, you say, well, why hadn't the right one come about? And I just had to look at him and say, I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. You know, sometimes it's funny how, you know, Hattie, I've thought about you before. Old Chris, you know, Chris is working this morning, right? Old Chris was in the youth group, problem child, and left for a long time, kind of, you know, had a, you know, rough family life. And that boy just walked back in one day with his sweater vest and his tie on a Wednesday night. Just showed back up, walked in, and caught me off guard, right? I looked at him and said, what are you doing here? And he's like, he just looked at me and said, it's time to be back. And that dude didn't hardly miss a service. I mean, it's just an unusual thing. He just kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. Then he marries the missionary daughter. I'm like, I cannot prophesy that one. I didn't see that one coming. Now I can look back now and say, it works. it's a good thing. But it's like, so he's going to walk back in, do right, and all of a sudden, boom, shakalaka, he finds a good girl. And then there's others that's like, man, I've been here, I've been faithful, I've been trying to do right. And because I want to find the right one, obviously, there's not as many to choose from. So what do I do? I compromise? And it almost, the two go hand in hand. It's like, okay, so when do I stop praying for that? I don't know that one would. Yes, sir?
So, I'm going to try to say this without praying, but my mother prayed for my dad for over 40 years to get saved. And I remember sharing this testimony in Peru about prayer. Well, if you're praying for someone, don't. So when she said that, it just triggered me, like, oh, gosh, this is like a, you know, I remember as a kid, getting home, you know, my mom's getting the kids all ready, running around, sweating, trying to get us all ready. My dad's hung over on the couch, and my mom's still praying for my dad. And she never gave up. And it took literally him moving into my house, starting to come to this church, because we had two different jobs, and then getting to know our preacher. And, you know, our preacher is, he's just that guy. My dad and him hit it off. And they still talk sometimes. But anyway, he took him to lunch, and this was after my mom's funeral, and he called me and said, in fact, I was in the middle of a training. I was training this guy to run the store in Ohio. This was probably 2013 or 12. And he called me out of the blue and was like, hey, I just wanted to tell you, I got saved. What? Dad? Oh. He's like, yep, your mom's prayers.
Sure. Well, and that's, I think, in that particular thing, when it's somebody, you know, but then there's the question, it's like, okay, in a situation, how much does a wife put up with before she goes? And sometimes you can't completely answer that question. There's some that I have looked at ladies in our church. Yeah. Okay, and that has something. I've looked at some and said, hey, you know, if you need to go, you need to go. I mean, if you need to move out just to get some attention here and get some things fixed. But then there's those there. When it comes to praying for, okay, infertility or for a spouse, obviously there comes a point, and we obviously know there's a time that, you know, you can't have kids anymore. But I think to be able to pray and say, okay, Lord, this is what I desire, but I want this, but if for some reason I don't get it, then I'm going to be okay with that. That's where we go back to Philippians chapter 4, and that peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's the principle. We do. We pray without ceasing. We pray about everything. We lay those things out there. And then we understand sometimes as you pray for somebody that's lost, you're dealing with their free will. And they are going to choose and decide one way or the other. We also know this, that prayer does change things. But we also don't have a specific formula that says, okay, if we do this and this and this and this, God will do this. They had that in the kingdom. You ask for this, I'm going to grant it. Here, he says, let your requests be made known unto God. And for people like that, when a person prays for something and desires something so much, and they don't have the balance of saying, okay, Lord, I don't know why. Like, you take somebody that gets sick. So take somebody that's serving the Lord. What's that? That dear brother, R.B. Ouellette, had surgery this week. He's been a preacher all his life and had to have his vocal cords removed. You know, it's just like, and you do, you kind of, well, why? Why would that be? You know, why would why would it that be the case? And, you know, through the years, I mean, people that get cancer, you know, the good folks that have the bad things that happen. Is there an answer to all of it that makes sense to us? No. But do we stop praying? We don't. But do we have to pray with the right perspective of saying, okay, Lord, if there's something here that I'm missing, or something that I don't know why it is, or even something with me, then okay, I still desire this, and if this isn't going to come about, then I'm going to purpose to make sure I will not turn my back on you. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to walk away. I may be hurt. I may not understand, but Lord, I will at that point desire that peace that passeth all understanding. And I will let that be enough. And I think that's one of those things where it's kind of like when you can forgive someone. Well, how often do you have to forgive them? Every time it comes up, you forgive them, then you forgive them again, and you forgive them again. And you can grant someone forgiveness, but then if it comes up and you begin to have to deal with it, it's like, okay, you know, I am completely forgiven. I am to forgive others based upon the forgiveness that was given to me, according to Ephesians, end of Ephesians 4 there. So I will continue with that. And that's where, under grace, God wants our mind. He wants us to involve Him in everything that we do. There's certain things that people go through, certain things that aren't granted to some. There's some people that get opportunities to make lots of money, and then others that work hard, good folks, and they aren't granted the same opportunities. Does that mean God has less care for them? What if those people that went through that, they get to the judgment seat one day, and how they handled that adversity grants them a greater reward in eternity? They'll look back and say, no problem. They'll look back and say, okay, I didn't miss out because I'm going to have this. And those are the things that we take into consideration with those difficult things and those hard things. And then that thing of, okay, so how much do I do about it? Now, we'll say this. Let's say there's somebody, you know, whether it's a fertility issue or they're trying to find a spouse. You know, if somebody's going to say, well, I'm just waiting for somebody in my church to marry. Well, what if he's outside the church? Maybe he or she goes to another church somewhere. Some will say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. It's like, well, while you're waiting, you could look a little bit. And, you know, you still have your same guidelines and things like that. And we know there's things that folks do as far as having children, the different fertility things, this, that, and the other. And we know it's expensive as well. And I think there's a place for some of that. But, you know, then it comes back to that thing. A person has to pray about it, choose, and decide. Say, okay, do I really feel like it's time for me? Have I done all that I know to do that now I can say, okay, Lord, the rest is on your shoulders. I have made sure I'm what I'm supposed to be. I think I've taken the steps that I need to take. I've gotten counsel. I have surrendered to this, but yet I've done all that I know to do. And then it's like there comes that place where it's like, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm just going to live, and I'm going to continue, and I'm going to do what I can do until you do something else. And there's a place where at that point you find that balance, and you find that peace to say, okay, He's enough. He's got it. Lord, if there's something I'm missing, help me to see it. And you still search for it. But when it goes from being diligent and being concerned to being troubled, doubtful, fearful, and worrying, see, that's where part of the line is. When you cross that line into that area of the flesh with the doubt and the fear and all that, and you lose that peace and you're not exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit there, then that's when you check yourself and say, okay, before I pray about any of this other stuff I want, let me get me right. Lord, let me get me straightened out. You know, I've even wondered about myself. We're going to get to heaven one day and be some things that's like, you mean I missed that my whole life? I missed that about myself my whole life. I was that blind because I was doing this, this, and I justified this and this, that I missed that. Well, it's probably going to be the case. Now, the reason I think about it is because I don't want it to happen. I'm like, okay, Lord, just please help me just to be as honest and transparent with myself and be willing to listen to what anybody else has to say and to see the scriptures to me so that I'm able to do that. And when I think when you have that transparency and that walk, regardless of those things that are going on that you don't understand, don't make sense, you know, that's one of those places where you're just going to trust him and say, okay, I've did what I can do. And from this point on, I'm going to serve him and live for him. And if I don't get to have this, or this is not the way that I thought it should be, or you're suffering from something because of the choices and decisions of someone else there, you know, we're all going to stand before him and give that account. So to bounce it back and forth, to say no action and surrender versus control and taking matters into my own hands, that's where the discernment comes in. The book will tell you, the principles will tell you, what do I take in my own hands and what do I... And most of what needs to go in your own hands are the things that you fix about yourself. The things that are going on out there are the things that we can't always do anything about. And for some people, they're like, I will not fix myself until that gets fixed. Well, you're done. You're just going to exist and you're going to take that all the way to your grave. There are certain mindsets that people develop that they will take to their grave because there's no end to it. I will not fix me until that or that person or that incident gets taken care of. Well, that's not how it works. God takes care of that. You take care of you. And you make whatever corrections need to be with you, not based upon the actions of others there. All right. Huh. Well, that was most of that one. Was there one other before we run out of time there? That's a good question, though, Cindy. Good job. Anything else just kind of jump to mind that I can just jot down and put into this thought, question, topic, or concern, or even maybe your own thought on some of that right there? Yes, sir, Tim.
There's two scriptures, one in Psalms and one in 2 Peter, where God gives us an idea of his perception of time. God's eternal. His perception of time is different than ours. It says 1,000 years is a day.
Mm-hmm.
A day is as 1,000 years, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Throughout scripture, it looks like God gives us three answers, yes, no, and wait. David waited on the Lord. David waited upon the Lord. It's repeated over and over.
Yeah.
If that 1,000 years is as a day, and you do the math on that, if God tells you to wait 5 minutes, that's 3.5 years. I actually have a whole breakdown in 2 Peter because there's space in my Bible. I broke it all down. We tell our kids to wait all the time.
Yeah.
We're God's children. Sometimes he tells us to wait because he's teaching us patience. He's teaching us to fix ourselves, like you mentioned. And we're supposed to, like Brother Jay said, keep praying. Keep praying because sometimes when God's saying wait, his perception of time is drastically different than ours.
It is. And just comparing the temporal with the eternal. I mean, we know in the heaven, we get to heaven, time's going to be done. You know, we're not up there and experiencing time like we're here upon the earth. We're just going to be up there. And it's going to be throughout all of eternity. It's going to be, you know, and we'll end with this. That one perspective, I think, yeah, I can remember that one time where I really kind of saw it, the perspective of what I believe it'll be like at the judgment seat. Is when you're there in the clouds meeting the Lord in the air, you're going to look back and the earth is going to be real small. You know, we look up at the sun and the moon and they're real small. Well, if we're already up there and we're looking back at the earth, we're going to see something real small. And then we're going to see Christ in his glorified state with the nail prints in his hands and his feet. We're going to see him realize so fully what he did for us. And then we're going to look up and we're going to see those angelic heavenly kingdoms, that area and that place that we're going to go and rule and reign with him throughout all of eternity. And you know, in the midst of those three perspectives, I think we're going to look back at this earth and some of that stuff that seems real big now is going to be real small. It's going to be real small. And sometimes that's the thing we take with us to say, when I don't understand right now, when I get so involved on everything, you know, from this perspective, everything going on around me right now, my spouse, my children, my church, my people, my job, my finances, all of those things. And then to take that time and then be able to look up and say, okay, you know what? It's this too shall pass. And there's going to come a day that I'm going to see it differently. There's going to be a day where there's going to be some things that maybe I don't value as much now that I will then. And that becomes part of our goal, is to learn to value eternal things and what's going to take place up there in the heavenlies. All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you, Sister Cindy, for that. And we're going to pray, be dismissed, and we'll start with our study, new study next week. So, Father, we are so thankful, Lord. Lord, there's times that I can say I'm thankful for the liberty and the freedom that I have in grace. But then, Lord, there's time in grace that I got some questions. And I've got sometimes some doubts and some frustrations. And, Lord, we all experience that. Lord, help us as a body, Lord, to think right and be right. Lord, to trust you, but at the same time, be willing to step back and say, okay, Lord, let me make sure I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do and what I need to do. Lord, I never want to limit you, Lord, based upon my own decisions. Lord, I believe there's some that the way they live their life and the way they think, they limit you because you've already told them how they're supposed to do things. They say, no, I'm going to do it this way. Lord, I know none of us ever want to be at that place. So, Lord, teach us. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity. Give us discernment. Lord, help us to live according to the grace that has been bestowed upon us. Lord, according to the grace that saved us, Lord, help us to live according to that grace day in and day out. Lord, we ask you to bless the hour to come in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, folks, for coming, for being here this morning, for participating.